Now, that case was decided in 1990. We're all a lot younger back then. As you discussed in the case, there the significant disagreement in the Fifth Circuit, the lines of authority that had been developing, as you noted, for about 10 years or more. So you identified that conflict in the very first paragraph of your opinion, stating that the court should perhaps consider en banc consideration. Now, we've had at this program a lot of support from the members of your court, which has been very beneficial to us. And when they've advised us about the mechanics for en banc consideration, one of the things we've always been told is don't just point out inconsistent lines of authority and say, fix it, but that you really need to propose a specific solution when you're asking for en banc review and say, here's the problem and here's the fix and the solution. That sounds just like what you did here.
Well, I offered some options. And one of them was that the court could decide that no movable offshore oil and gas rig when engaged in exploration and production was a vessel. An alternative was that the court could retain the holding that movable offshore rigs are non-traditional vessels in admiralty, even when they're moored during the operations, and then we could try to bounce off consistent law standards for that. And third is a variation. We could apply maritime law to all contracts involving oil and gas development from vessels, except those structures that are fixed platforms according to OCSLA. So there were three ways that the court could go.
Now, in the decision, you told us how you resolved it based upon your view of Terrio. So you didn't have to tell us which of these three approaches that you thought was best. However, you did discuss that first alternative with some substance to it, pointing out the benefits of that approach and particularly the unsuitability of maritime law to oil and gas exploration, which is a lot like what Judge Brown had been saying. Did you have at this time a preference? You pointed out the three, discussed them. Did you have a preference what you thought should be the answer?
You know, that's a long time ago, and I really can't remember. I will say there was I went back and, well, I'll get into this in a minute, but I went back and looked at all the correspondence and things that were going on at the time, and there was a lot of ferment because by this time most of the judges realized we were in a pickle. So hopefully we were thinking maybe this would be a vehicle to go en banc.
Mm-hmm. So you also noted, interestingly, just as you pointed out the reasoning for en banc review, you also pointed out some reasons why, this is a long time ago, you pointed out some reasons why we might not want or need en banc review. So what were those reasons?
Well, the parties to the contract may, because as I said, all of these tend to be indemnity cases. So the parties to the contract may have developed interesting ways around these difficulties about maritime, non-maritime, by means of choice, sometimes choice of law clauses or insurance, you know, mutual coverages and that sort of thing. There could be variation in master service agreements, long-term contracts, negotiated terms that would all be affected by any decision we would make. And so this has been a principle I've tried to abide by. We try to be careful and not to fix something when industry is going around us, and when, you know, it may not be broken, even though we just reading cold reefs think it is.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some, in this case, I think there's some basis for that under the circumstances, because people knew the conflict, and so people were working on workarounds for that in part. Okay, I'm so glad that you came today, because this is a question that I've wondered years and years. Because we all sat there after reading that decision in 1990 where you set out all these wonderful reasons for en banc review. You set all this out and laid the problem out perfectly, and it's a great conflict. And so there's en banc reconsideration sitting there for a whole year, and then all of a sudden denied. Not a word. Denied. So,
and you
I have you here. I want to know why and what happened.
You probably know the answer, but I had
to
go back.
I don't. I want to know.
Well, I'm happy to say my files were in reasonably good order on this case, even though it was 32 years ago. There was a whole lot of correspondence going on within the court about this. John R. Brown, while the mandate was held, a lot of correspondence was going forward. And then in